Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Granta Raj Shima Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Jai Go Premanandi. Okay, so tonight we'll begin chapter 42. The Bhagavatam. We'll go from verses 1 to 19, covering Krishna meeting with Kubja. So verses 1 to 19. Shukadeva Goswami said, as he walked down the king's road, Lord Madhava then saw a young hunchback woman with an attractive face who carried a tray of fragrant ointments as she walked along. The bestower of the ecstasy of love smiled and inquired from her as follows.
According to Srila Vishwan Chakravarti Thakura, that young hunchbacked girl was actually a partial expansion of the Lord's wife Satyabhama. Satyabhama is the Lord's internal energy, known as Bahu Shakti. And this expansion of hers, known as Prithvi, represents the earth, which was bent down by the great burden of countless wicked rulers. Lord Krishna descended to remove these wicked rulers, and thus his pastime of straightening out the hunchback Devakra, as explained in these verses, represents his rectifying the burden condition of the earth. At the same time, the Lord awarded Devakra a conjugal relationship within himself. In addition to the given meaning, the word Rasa Prada indicates that the Lord amused his covert boyfriends by his dealings with the young hunchback.
Any points?
I'm a little bit confused about the last part, the bestower to give the
Rasa Prada.
The covert boyfriends, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll explain that.
Okay.
Any other points?
Well, I was just thinking about what Sudhama asked yesterday. The three things he asked, the third thing he asks, when you ponder it, gives you goosebumps, because we forget to ask for people who wish us ill. He is asking for every living entity.
Yeah.
So just imagine his mood.
So you should also develop that mood. So, as is being said here, Krishna appeared to remove the burden of the earth. Vinashaya cha duskritam. So, in one sense, the acharyas are pointing out that Trivakra, or Kubja, she represents the earth itself. Who is feeling overburdened. She's finding it very difficult because of all of the unrighteous kings or unqualified kings. So, she will be delivered by Krishna herself. Sorry, Krishna himself. He will deliver Kubja. And this is symbolizing also that he is entering Mathura to kill Kamsa, and then he's going to begin to kill all the different demoniac kings, Jarasandha and all of this, Shishupal, Dantabhakra. So he will relieve the burden of the earth. Now that is his position. Now, it is mentioned in the purport or in the verse, Rasa Prada means he's the giver of pleasure of rasa to all the living entities. So he's giving pleasure to everyone through the pastime. So as Krishna He is known as Rasika Shekhar or Rasa Raj, the king of Rasa. Rasa means juice. Rasa means pleasure. Just like you have Rasgulla, Ras Malai. That means juicy. So Rasa means juicy or pleasurable. If there is no juice, then things are not very pleasurable. So Krishna, he gives pleasure. Wherever he goes and however he acts, it increases pleasure. Nothing is ever dull or boring with Krishna. Just like every year I like to go to India. So one thing I find, here there's no chairs. Where are the little chairs? Oh, were they? Yeah, they didn't bring them back. Sorry. Okay. So, whenever Krishna performs the activity, it creates great pleasure for all the living entities. Everyone becomes very full of pleasure. So that is Krishna's mood. That he wants to please everyone. He creates this mood of pleasure. He creates this mood of satisfaction within all the living entities. He creates rasa in the pastime for every living entity. Krishna does not want anyone to feel dissatisfied. He wants everyone to be enjoying constantly. That is his mood. In India, because I like to go there once a year, things are not boring there. Compared to like the West, compared to Australia. You know, there's always something going on. You know, you just look around, you see people speaking and like, yeah, everything, there's some rasa there. Right? More so than other places. That's because it is closer to Krishna. And wherever there is Krishna, there is more rasa. There is great pleasure. So wherever he goes, everything becomes full of pleasure. Some leela is taking place. It is never dull or boring, it is always. So Krishna, as he enters, there are different rasas being experienced. Kubja, or Chivakra, she is experiencing which rasa? Yeah, Madhurya rasa, which means the pastime or the mood of conjugal feeling towards Krishna. And then the cowherd boys who are with Krishna, what do they experience? Sakya, yeah. That's the primary rasa, but the secondary rasa is hasya. Hasya means like laughter and joy. So Krishna is making jokes with all the cowherd boys. And all the resonance of Mathura as Krishna walks in, they're experiencing the secondary rasa called Adbhuta. Adbhuta means?
Astonishment.
Yeah, wonder. Like that. Adbhuta. Adbhuta means wonder. As soon as Krishna walks in, everyone becomes completely struck with his personality. So that is Krishna. He's the master of rasa. He brings the most pleasure and the most laughter from the cowherd boys, gives the ultimate conjugal satisfaction to Kubja, and creates the most wonderful sense of astonishment amongst all of the residents of Mathura. So he is full of rasa. Any points?
Can we, I don't know how Kubja herself is experiencing the Madhurya, because it is owned or it is, I mean, it's owned by the Vrajavasis, the Gopis.
Madhurya rasa.
Madhurya rasa.
No, it's not just the bridge spouses, it's the queens in Dwarka, they're in Madhurya rasa. It's not just the gopis. So. Any other points? Okay. So. Let's shut that door properly. Lord Krishna said, "Who are you, O beautiful thighed one?" Ah, ointment. Who is it for? My dear lady, please tell us truthfully. give us both some of your finest ointment, and you will soon gain a great boon. So whatever bundle you want to read up.
The Lord jokingly addressed the lady as for beautiful type of one. The joke was not malicious, since he was actually going to make her good.
So any points there? Yeah.
He's speaking to her in a conjugal way.
Yeah.
And she's, I'm guessing, ugly because she's hunchback. Is that the part that gives the pleasure to the cowherd boyfriends, that it's a bit funny?
Yeah.
Sorry, I just...
Yeah. So Krishna, he protects and he delivers all living entities. Kubja is taking shelter of him, so therefore naturally he will give protection. That is Krishna's nature. He protects everyone, he maintains everyone, and he gives pleasure to everyone. So you see that he, after this pastime takes place with Kubja, and then in Mathura he then moves to Dwarka. 25 years he spends in Mathura. But then after that, he marries 16,000, 108 wives. That's his nature, to give protection. Krishna will protect anyone who takes shelter of him. So all the living entities in the universe, they take shelter of Krishna. Krishna gives them full protection. So anyone who comes, so all of these princesses, they take shelter of him. Krishna gives them full protection. Kubja comes to him. No one goes to Krishna and then walks away without protection. So he delivers everyone. So whatever suffering anyone is in, Krishna will deliver them from the suffering. Any suffering that you're experiencing, Krishna will deliver you. He gives Kubja, because she is suffering because of her difficulty, then he delivers from that. Right? The queens that he later marries, they were all captured, many of them. So then he delivered them from that. So that is his personality, his nature. He will deliver anyone who is taking shelter of him. So, any points?
Excuse me, what is the meaning of Varoru?
What is it?
Address the lady as Varoru. Lord
Yogi indeed. Varoru. Or beautiful thighed one. One who has beautiful thighs. Varoru.
Somewhere in Bhagavatam it is mentioned Krishna's lotus feet are compared to Amrala. If we take Kshatra, his lotus feet is like Amrala, it protects from all the material constraints. Spiritually, it helps us to.
The maidservant replied, "O handsome one, I am a servant of King Kamsa, who highly regards me for the ointments I make. My name is Trivakra. Who else but you too deserve my ointments, which the Lord of the Bulges likes so much?"
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that Trivikara, who is also known as Kubja, used the singular address Sundara, O handsome one, to hint that she felt conjugal desire for Krishna alone, and she used the dual form Yuan for both of you to try to hide her conjugal sentiment. The hunchback's name, Trivikara, indicates that her body was bent at the neck, chest, and waist.
Okay. Yes.
She's bent in three parts like Krishna. Is there any correlation there?
No, it's not like Krishna.
Not like Krishna, but yeah. There's three, is it?
No. Not in particular. So, It is pointed out here that she surrenders only to Krishna alone. She says, O handsome one. So she speaks in the singular text, or in the singular sense, because she's especially attracted to Krishna. But then after that, then she says, no one but you too deserve my ointments. Because then she becomes shy. She wants to hide because all the cowherd boys are there. Everyone is watching. So she doesn't want everyone to know that she's especially attracted to Krishna. In Vedic culture, men and women have to be very careful how they deal. Cultured people. So even in the temple, or especially in the temple, have to be very careful how we deal, the males and the females. Sometimes if the dealings are not proper, then attachments fall. Prabhupada even says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says you can even become attached to someone who is not your wife or husband. Even you're married, but then you can subtly form attachments. So we have to be very careful of the dealings. So in a cultured civilization, there is etiquette. So Kubja, she's very attracted to Krishna. So she says, no one is better than you to receive this. But then she says, then she divides it to Balaram and Krishna. But actually she's attracted to him alone. Because he's so overwhelmingly powerful and so attractive. Any points?
Was Kubja the same in the Lord Rama's appearance as the mantra?
Mantra.
In Ramayana.
Ram's sister. Sorry.
In Keke's
servant.
Oh, that one. Yeah, it is mentioned. She is someone in Ram's pastimes. Yeah, she may be. We'd have to.
She was Kubja.
Yeah.
She was villain who told Kepe, this is the right time to find the to get the boons from the king.
Yeah, we'd have to look it up. We'd have to research it. She is, yeah, someone in the previous previous time.
Sundara, is that one of the names of Krishna, or is it not exclusive?
Sundara means beautiful.
Yeah,
so Shama Sundara, one who is beautiful, bluish person, that's one of his famous names, Radha Shama Sundara. The maidservant replied, her mind overwhelmed by Krishna's beauty, charm, sweetness, smiles, words, and glances, Trivakra gave both Krishna and Balaram generous amounts of ointment.
She respectfully replied to Lord Krishna, please take it and import them her pen total for lying to their daughters.
Good. That's good. So, she is overwhelmed by Krishna's qualities. Krishna is overwhelming in his every feature of his personality. He completely overwhelms people. When they associate with him, they just become completely captivated. Now, that's why he's called all attractive in every way. He just completely subjugates or conquers the senses of anyone who comes in contact with him. So it says here that by his beauty, so we've heard so much about his beauty. He's entering Mathura in the Gopavesh, in the form of the cowherd boy, which is his most attractive form. So everyone is completely captured by him. It says his charm. Charm means mannerisms, way of speaking, one's countenance, the way one deals with others. Very charming. So much so he can just captivate anyone. Sometimes you meet people like this who are very charming and they're just completely captivated. You know, a very charming woman or a very charming man, and we become captivated by the person. And then even when they leave.
Demeanor.
Yeah, demeanor, yeah. And then even when they leave, we could not stop thinking about them. We think, oh, that person is so charming. Then his sweetness. Famous set of verses by Vallabhacharya. Madhuram, madhuram. So everything about Krishna is sweet. Just like, you know, when we go to that Govardhan retreat. And that whole area, that's the Vallabha Sampradaya. It's Jatipur, that's their place. And you know, if you go down to, do you ever go down sometimes to that temple? Which one am I talking about? Huh? Down there at Puncheri.
Lota. Puchila
Lota. Lota Baba?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but the one, like the fortress one? Have you been to that one?
That's Puchila Lota.
No, the fortress one. As you walk down from Govardhan, then right next to the Parakram, right? You know, there's like that Vallabha temple. It's like a fortress. Have you been inside there?
It's in the center or at the Puchri?
Yeah, it's at Puncheri down there. No, not at Jatipur, it's down at Puncheri. Have you been there? I haven't been there. Okay. So.
The upstairs is the temple.
What's that?
Over there.
No, it's not upstairs. It's down on the ground. But the most beautiful deity of Sri Nachi.
Yeah.
Puncheri.
Yeah.
So sweet. You know, if you go into the Vallabha temple, and they work in Srinachi, it's so sweet. Just like the ambience, and they play very soft, melodic music, right? And the scents are very sweet, and they worship the deity very opulently and very sweetly. This is Krishna's mood, he's very sweet. The Vallabha Sampradaya, they're expert in deity worship. That's their main anga of bhakti. Our main anga is Sankirtan. So you go into their temples, very sweet mood.
Nachi.
Yeah, so if you go to Nachi, then you'll see how sweet it is, the mood. So that is the special mood of Krishna. He's sweet in every way. Everything about him, physically, vocally, his emotions, his personality, everything is sweet and captivating. That's why he's known as Krishna, the most captivating person. And then it says he smiles, because he smiles very beautifully to everyone. And smiles captivate. If someone smiles at you, automatically you feel amiable towards that person. So Krishna, he smiles in such a way to capture everyone. And then his words, sweet speech is the best way to captivate anyone. If you want to make a friend, you have to speak very sweetly. And that's how we make friendships in this world. It's probably the principal ingredient of any relationship is sweet speech. If you speak very sweetly, people will become very captivated and very loyal to you. And if you speak harshly, then you can destroy relationships immediately or very quickly. Just by words, wars are started. People just say the wrong thing and suddenly wars take place. Or if you speak very sweetly, you can change entire nations and countries. So powerful. And then Krishna's glances. Krishna is so powerful, he just looks. The sidelong glance, he just looks at the devotees, completely captures their hearts. So everything about Krishna is captivating and powerful. So, any points? Number 5. Anointed with these most excellent cosmetics, which adorned them with hues that contrasted With their complexions, the two lords appeared extremely beautiful.
The Acharya suggests that Krishna spread yellow ointment upon his body and Balram blue ointment upon his.
So what are the points?
They choose their favorite colors.
So why is that their favorite color? Yeah, because Krishna is in Mathura, but who is he thinking about? Radharani. Right, he's missing her. Right? Because it's not described in the Bhagavatam, but when he comes back out, he goes in and he comes back out, he takes her, he can't sleep the whole night. Right? Because he's feeling so much separation from Radharani and the gopis. And Balaram, he's wearing blue because?
Blue.
That is the color of Krishna. So the blue on Balaram's white body looks very beautiful. The yellow on Krishna's blue body looks very beautiful. So the basic premise is variety is the mother of enjoyment. And you know this saying? In English, we have, I don't know, you must have a saying like that in India. Any saying like that? Something?
Variety, mother of invention.
Variety is the mother of enjoyment. Yeah, necessity is the mother of invention. Yeah, same thing. Yeah. Variety is the spice of life. Yeah. So it is variety that gives pleasure. No? And who is the best at creating variety? Krishna. No? It's never the same. No two situations are ever the same. No two pastimes are ever the same. Right? Always there is variety. We need variety to make our lives interesting. So Krishna is the master of making everything fresh, new, satisfying, pleasurable, right? Always expanding bliss. Anandam buddhivaradhanam. In Krishna's association, everything expands unlimitedly. So it says in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Krishna is so beautiful that he makes his ornaments attractive. It's not the ornaments that make him attractive. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points this out. When the oil goes on him, right, he makes the oil more praiseworthy. It's not the oil is making him more beautiful, but he's making it more. Whether the oil is there or not there, he is equally as beautiful. He's all powerful. But he likes enjoyment, so he just variety, so he's allowing the oil to be smeared. Any points?
Darshan,
have
the puja actually
applied
bluish tint to the
cloth,
blue color?
On that night? I'm not sure. You have to ask.
No, because that night
you're
appearing
quite
dark, bluish.
Maybe it's just some pastime he's having with you. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember them looking particularly blue. You have to ask the pujari.
Maybe those dots, gopi
dots. Yeah, the gopi dots are very beautiful on Janmashtami. Yeah. What color were they?
Red. Red mixed with white.
Yeah, reddish. Like that, so.
Speaking of variety is the mother of enjoyment. I once heard it said that every time Radharani cooks for Krishna, she cooks something different. And it's never ending. Always something different, always a lot.
Or even if she cooks the same item, but it never tastes the same twice.
So she's also, because she's the pleasure conscious as well. She's also got variety.
Yeah. Yeah, she is the... She is the pinnacle of females, and he is the pinnacle of males. So everything that he can do, she can do better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're always competing with each other. Okay.
In the Lord Narasimha Dev Chamba, so he said that the Lord Narasimha Dev makes the jewelry on his body beautiful. Not that the jewelry makes him.
That's the point.
Yeah.
That is true.
Hmm?
That is true. Lord Krishna was pleased with Trivakra, so he decided to straighten that hunchback girl with the lovely face, just to demonstrate the result of seeing him. So why is Krishna reciprocating with her in this way? Yeah, she's surrendered to Krishna. Prabhupada gave us the saying, purity is the force. You have to become a pure devotee, Amala Bhakta. Amala Bhakti, Kevala Bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti, Uttama Bhakti, all these words describe pure devotional service. So the whole point of devotional service is to make our devotional service pure. Therefore, Prabhupada said, purity is the force. The only way we can meet Krishna is when there is no other motivation. So because Kubja is pure, the Acharya's point out she's not entirely pure, but there's enough purity there that Krishna reciprocates with her. So that is the secret. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us. We have to become very sincere in our attempt, and then Krishna will reciprocate. He will reveal himself to us. Well, it depends how pure you are. The devotee does not think that they are pure, but we try our best.
I think it also demonstrates that she's a servant of Kamsa also. So the first washerman that was killed, he was a servant of Kamsa as well. She said, I'm a servant of Kamsa. But because she loves Krishna, because she serves him purely, it's showing that point that it doesn't matter where you really come from, maybe.
Yeah.
You could expect.
Yeah, and also she's a virgin girl. Because she was, she had the deformity, the hunchback, even though she personally went into Kamsa's presence to deliver the oils, the ointments, but Kamsa did not physically touch her. Normally he would take advantage of the women. But because she was a little deformed, then he let her go, he did not touch her. So she was also pure in that sense. And when she saw Krishna, she only wanted to give herself to Krishna. So Krishna was very attractive. We should also have that mentality. We won't go to anyone else but Krishna.
And sometimes deformity is a protection.
Yeah.
Or ugliness.
In the material world.
Just we also are deformed without the others.
Oh God.
So yeah, naturally we have to be presented with our
good point. Everyone has to hand their essays in as well. I haven't got essays, so if you're going to hand them in for this last exam, I mark the closed books, but you have to hand in. I haven't got a lot of the essays yet, so. Yeah, you handed yours in. Okay.
I have a small question here. How
do
these people, in the last 3-4, but not 5 classes, like you said, they heard about Krishna and all these people.
Yeah, because they heard about him.
Just by hearing, they heard about so much about him.
Only hearing.
But there was no mention anywhere of Bhagavatam except you said, I don't know.
Said what?
You only said in the class that they were hearing, you know, when some people were coming to Mother.
Yeah, of course. That's how they found him. Everyone, the wives of the Jaggi Brahmanas in the previous section, they hadn't met him, but they heard about him. Later on, Rukmini, she did never met him, but she heard about him, same as him. So it's the same for everyone.
But even Duryodhan, Kamsa, these people, they also know Krishna. why they did not develop? Is that because of the demonic nature?
Yeah, of course. They're envious. That's what a demon is. A demon is envious.
But at least by looking at the beautiful creature also they could not develop in that.
Yeah, but when you see, if you're envious, if you see someone beautiful, what do you think?
Why?
Why are they? I hate that person.
Yeah.
Why that? Why they think they're so good? Why they think they're better than me? So you think negative things. That's envy.
I was wondering why was that washerman didn't hear anything about it.
He must have heard something about
it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's envious of Krishna. Pressing down on her toes with both his feet, Lord Achyutya placed one upward pointing finger of each hand under her chin and straightened up her body. A very beautiful reciprocation. Krishna reciprocates so sweetly with all of us. So he stood on her feet and with two fingers, and he lifted her chin like that. And she straightened, turned a very beautiful, mystical, but also very beautiful, very intimate. Krishna is very sweet in the way he deals with the devotees. Sometimes he's heavy on us because he needs to be, but actually he prefers to be sweet. Yeah, this is the original physiotherapy. Who is the source of physiotherapy? Krishna Chandra Bhagavan ki? Krishna Chandra Bhagavan physiotherapy ki? Yeah, he's the most, he's the best at everything. So.
It sounds very soft, like you didn't hurt it. It's just really sweet and dark.
Yeah, two fingers.
Without, you just want to put
under her chin.
Without any violence, without any stress, just softly.
He's very soft.
You must have heard it many times. Both of feet on her
feet. No, his feet are soft like butter. So.
But his weight?
He is heavier than the heaviest and lighter than the lightest. So. She didn't feel any discomfort. Anything else? Okay. Simply by Lord Mukunda's touch, Trivakra was suddenly transformed into an exquisitely beautiful woman with straight, evenly proportioned limbs and large hips and breasts. So what name is chosen here for Krishna? Mukunda. What does that mean? When it gives liberation. So what did he liberate her from? Yeah, suffering. Yeah, I mean, there's different ways we can suffer in this world. But when you don't have good health, it's very difficult. You know, if your back is deformed or something like that. You know, it's very difficult in this world. So he liberated her from that suffering. How Krishna chooses to liberate us, that's up to him. But he is Mukunda for every devotee. He will liberate every devotee. But what he'll liberate you from, that's up to him. Sometimes he'll liberate you from all your suffering, sometimes different types. He wants you to learn things. That's the point. If Krishna puts us through tests or difficulty, that is only to help us learn things. I try to see like this. When I go through difficulties sent by Krishna, then I try to think, what is it that Krishna wants me to learn? There has to be something in it. If Krishna puts you in any circumstance, that's because he wants you to understand something. So we should always see a test as something positive for us, something to help us.
If Krishna and Krishna, this world is not good.
What is that?
This world is not good. Get the test.
Yeah. Okay. Now endowed with beauty, character, and generosity, Trivakra began to feel lusty desires for Lord Keshava. Taking hold of the end of his upper cloth, she smiled and addressed him as follows. And Trivakra said, "Come, O hero, let us go to my house. I cannot bear to leave you here. O best of males, please take pity on me, since you have agitated my mind." Jagan.
Sri Ashwana Chakravarti supplies the following conversation. "Krishna, is it for the purpose of dining that you are inviting me to your house? Trivikra, I simply can't leave you here." Krishna, "But people here on the king's road will misconstrue what you are saying and laugh. Therefore, please don't speak like this." Trivikra, "I can't help being agitated. You made the mistake of touching me. It's not my fault."
Any points?
Yes. When she becomes beautiful, that's when she starts to feel the desire for you. It says in the wonderful.
No, the desire was already there. But
it says more. "Now endowed with beauty, character, and truth, she began to feel lusty desires." So it started to...
No, that was already there. That feeling was already there.
What I'm thinking is, maybe when she felt herself more worthy...
Now she had a chance. That's all.
Now she has a hope.
Yeah. Now she has an opportunity, that's all.
Well, I was wondering, because she shows that gopi-like quality of, "I don't care what anyone thinks, I'm inviting you to my house," is that possibly also a gopi-like quality where she feels now she's a bit more worthy of him? Or is it absolutely crazy? No one's like the gopis.
The point is that Krishna's is completely overwhelming. You would never do this or say this, right? You'd never say in public to a man, you know, say, "Come to my house," in Vedic culture. That's considered completely improper, abominable, right? It is low class. You'd never say that. But Krishna is so attractive, people become overwhelmed by him. So he says, "Please come to my house. I cannot leave you here." So she's become overwhelmed by Krishna's attractiveness, his beauty.
And attached.
Yeah, she's completely attached. So, Krishna is full of... All these pastimes are free from lust. Krishna doesn't have any lust because he is situated in Shuddhasattva, pure goodness. He just wants to reciprocate with his devotee. That's his mood. He doesn't want to enjoy lusty pastimes with Kubja. He wants to reciprocate. If she has that desire, then he will reciprocate with that desire. But it is not based upon lust. And he's showing integrity. He's saying to Kubja that is it for the purpose of dining in your home that he invited me to your house? So he knows what she is meaning, but he wants to make it proper. He won't speak improperly. So he says, "Are you inviting me to your house?" He knows that is not the intention or the purpose, but then he speaks like that. So that is Krishna always acts with integrity, always act properly. And then simultaneously, he's giving great pleasure to the gopas, to the cowherd boys. Because everyone's seen the situation, right? So he's saying, "Are you?" And he's a little embarrassed also, because these girls just said, "You know, come to my house," and they're cultured boys; they won't just do like that. But then he's saying, "You know, is it just for dining?" You're saying like that, so the whole thing is. What is that?
Trying to manage.
Yeah, so he's trying to keep it all, you know, balanced like that. So. It's just creating rasa, it's creating pleasure, creating enjoyment. So Krishna is the master of making it more pleasurable. So he's speaking in various ways.
There is a story in Ramayana Prabhupada. There was one lady and she was very austere. She was doing austerity for a long time and Ravana went there and he touched her. And as soon as he touched her, she gave up her body and went away because he feared he had touched me, means I'm impure now. And so then Lord Krishna touched her and then she said,
No. Yeah, that's the other point. You normally wouldn't touch a girl that you've just met in Vedic culture.
Yeah.
But Krishna is Krishna, so he will do.
But she thought that because you have touched me, you're my husband.
Yeah.
Using the dharmic point as the point
of. Yeah, that happened in the pastime of Bhishma. When he kidnapped those three princesses. So they were called Amba, Ambalika. Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika. So then one of them wanted to go back to Shishapal, I think it was. I think it was Shishapal.
No, King of Chedi.
Is that Shalya?
Shalya.
Yeah, so he wanted to go back, but then he said, no, you were touched. So she went back to Bhishma and she said, then you have to accept me. He said, no, I've taken a vow, I will not accept the wife. So then she performed great austerity. And then the next life she became Shikhandi, which is born to kill Bhishma. You ruined my life, so next life I will kill you. Indian people are like this. Next life I will kill you.
We all like that because otherwise we won't be coming in this world. You get envious with somebody and that's why we have to come in this world.
No, but the Indian people are worse.
In our prayers, when we are praying to Krishna for deity worship, it's from the traditional Vedic book and everything. It says that Krishna, one who removed the lust of Kubja. So when Krishna touched Kubja, when she invited Kubja, invited Krishna to the home, and then when she touched Krishna with lusty desire, as soon as she touched Krishna, she became a pure devotee.
At some point.
And immediately Krishna removed her anarthas, and then she became a pure devotee. So they say when we are doing puja to Krishna, you say kubja nirvatra moktraya swaha. You say swaha.
Like, yeah, I'm not sure if it's he does remove all of her lusty desires because she does have lust, but I'm not sure if it's now or if it's
no,
later.
No, at her home.
Yeah, when he comes the second time. Yeah, then he purifies her completely.
Makes her pure devotee.
Yeah.
She becomes a pure devotee.
Yeah.
Is there any significance to the that they specifically tell you which part of his cloth she touched, the upper part, the end of the upper part of his cloth? Is that significant in Vedic culture? Is that like something?
No, no. She just grabbed. Just it. She grabbed his cloth and said, come, okay. Come. Okay. Thus entreated by the woman, Lord Krishna first glanced at the face of Balaram, who was watching the incident, and then at the faces of the cowherd boys. Then with a laugh, Krishna replied to her as follows. So which rasa is this? But no, it's not Madhurya. Yeah, Hasya. Hasya means
joking.
Yeah, he looks at all the boys. He looks at Balaram, he looks at all the boys. And it's Hasya. He's making it very. Lord Krishna said, O lady with beautiful eyebrows, as soon as I fulfill my purpose, I will certainly visit your house, where men can relieve their anxiety. Indeed, you are the best refuge for us, homeless travelers.
What does that mean?
What?
I don't understand that.
What don't you understand?
Why does he say where men can relieve their anxiety? What does he mean?
That's like when you go to visit a prostitute, like that.
Oh, is she? But she's not a prostitute.
No, but she's not married, and she's asking him to come to the house. So,
so she's acting as him.
Partially. You wouldn't normally say to a man on the street, "Come to my house." So, Krishna is the supreme hero. He's the supreme enjoyer. Actually, only he has the right to act like this. No one else can act like this. Sometimes we imitate Krishna and then we get in trouble. We try to enjoy with the opposite sex, but we get in trouble. The Prabhupada says, man is good, woman is good, but together they are bad. There's the nature of the material energy. Why? Because we're trying to imitate Krishna. We try to act like Krishna or like Radharani. We try to imitate them, but then whenever you do that, then everything becomes problematic. Whereas Krishna, actually, he's the only one who has the right to do this. So when he says these things to Kubja, he's being the Adi Purush, the Mahapurush, the supreme enjoyer, the supreme hero. So that's his prerogative. He can act like that. If we imitate, then... So then... Krishna accepts her devotion. That's the point. He accepts her. Because she has devotion for him. So he says, certainly I will come. And he shows dharma. Because if you are a qualified kshatriya, which is what Krishna is, he's going back and he's been living as a cowherd boy, but now he's coming back to Mathura to show, actually, I am the prince here. I actually came from this place. I mean, we know he was born there, but another form was born there. He is the prince. He is Kshatriya. This is Kshatriya Dharma. Kshatriya Dharma means if a woman surrenders to the Kshatriya, then the Kshatriya must give her shelter. That is Kshatriya Dharma. So then she has said to him, and he said, yeah, I will definitely come in the future. I will come. Just let me go and take care of a few things. When I've done that, then I will definitely come and I will give you shelter. So that is his dharmic nature. But only he can do this. Well, if you're going to do this, you have to be very qualified. You have to be a very powerful Kshatriya. Because the Kshatriyas, they would have many wives. Krishna had 16,108. So then that's okay, but then you have to look after them. Right? So you have one wife, right? Not so easy. Right? You have two wives. Right? Imagine now, right now, imagine having a second wife. Right? Not so easy. Unless you're very powerful. Right. Then three wives, then 16, then 108, then 1,000. Right. And Krishna has 16,000. Right. So you have to be very powerful, because then you have to satisfy all of them. So it's okay. And actually, there was the conversation with Prabhupada when he first came to America. And Prabhupada said, then the male devotees, they can marry more than one wife. Because that is the Vedic system. But then they said to Prabhupada, that's illegal in this country. And Prabhupada said, okay, then do not do it. But that's actually the system. But then you have to maintain as well.
It's a sin, no, Prabhuji. Isn't it a sin to marry connected? It's a sin in the Vedic culture. Kali Yuga, they say only one Samhita says.
Yeah.
Only one.
That's because in Kali Yuga, the men, they want to take more than one wife, but then they can't do the responsible part. They just want the enjoyment, but they don't want the responsibility. Vedic culture means responsibility first, not enjoyment first.
Kali Yuga is prohibited.
Kali Yuga,
because they are unfair to women.
Yeah, I don't do it. In Kali Yuga, I don't. Dwapara Yuga, no problem, but Kali Yuga, you can do it.
See, the same thing happened with the king. The one king, he was married to the daughter of Sukracharya.
And Samista was my friend. And she was, they were two very poor women against each other. But then I asked her something.
Very good.
She wanted us to have a son.
Nice.
But that was Lord Krishna's ancestor.
Yeah, it means Kshatriyas. Any Kshatriya can do it.
Yeah.
If you're a Kshatriya, you can have more than one wife. If you're a Brahmana, you can have more than one wife. If you're a Vaishya, you can have more than one wife. Shudra cannot do it.
Arjuna had four wives.
Arjuna had four, yeah.
Four wives.
But Sukracharya cursed him.
Yeah, the point is you have to be able to maintain. Right? If you're a Brahmana, Kshatriya, or Vaishya, you can have more than one wife, but you have to maintain. That's the point.
But why did Sukracharya cursed?
I can't remember. We have to look. We have to look at the pastime.
And he made a cripple. He made him crippled, old. And then he had to get the youth from his son.
Hmm. Leaving her with these sweet words. Lord Krishna walked further down the road. The merchants along the way worshipped him and his elder brother by presenting them with various respectful offerings, including pan, garlands, and fragrant substances. The sight of Krishna aroused Cupid in the hearts of the city women. Thus agitated, they forgot themselves. Their clothes, braids, and bangles became disheveled, and they stood as still as figures in a painting. So, Leela Mai, you want to read them?
Vishwanatha Chakravarti states that since the women of Mathura immediately experienced symptoms of conjugal attraction when they saw Krishna, they were the most advanced devotees in the city. The 10 effects of Cupid are described as follows: Chakshi, Radha, Prata, Pratamam, Chiti Sangas, Pratokta, Sangalpa, Nidra, Chedas, Pranukta, Vishaya, Nibritis, Tripanasha, Unmado, Murcha Vritya Iti Eta Smaradasa Dasaiva Syu. First comes attraction expressed through the eyes, then intense attachment in the mind, then determination, loss of sleep, becoming emaciated, disinterest in external things, shamelessness, madness, becoming stunned, and death. These are the 10 stages of Cupid's effects. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti also points out that devotees who possess pure love of Godhead generally do not exhibit the symptoms of death, since this is inauspicious in relation to Krishna. They do, however, manifest the other 9 symptoms, culminating in becoming stunned in ecstasy.
Mm. So, any points there?
We should develop pure devotion for the
Lord.
Yeah. And
be happy. Yeah. Krishna is known as Cupid personified. His name is Madan
Mohan.
So he's the one who bewilders Cupid. He is Cupid. The original Cupid is Madan, is Krishna. The other person is just an expansion of an expansion of an expansion. He's not the original Madan. Krishna is. So he's so powerful, it describes here, when Cupid strikes, there are how many symptoms?
Ten
symptoms, right? Krishna is so powerful that Kubja and any of the other women in Mathura, just by seeing him, those 9 symptoms, they develop immediately. Right? There's no one else who can do that. You know, can take you to that level of absorption and that level of have that much effect on your consciousness immediately. No one else can do that. But Krishna is the supreme male. He has that effect on the females. Even he has the effect on males. Males see him and they feel all these things. That's how powerful.
Supreme enjoyer.
Number one. Lord Krishna then asked the local people where the arena was in which the bow sacrifice would take place. When he went there, he saw the amazing bow, which resembled Lord Indra's. That most opulent bowl was guarded by a large company of men who were respectfully worshipping it. Krishna pushed his way forward, and despite the guards' attempts to stop him, he picked it up. So, where was the bowl from?
India.
Hmm? It was the bowl of who? Whose bowl was it? It was the bowl of Shiva. So you can imagine this. I mean, because it's Shiva's bowl, even Kamsa was worshipping him. Kamsa would worship Shiva and try to get power. It's Shiva's bowl. So everyone was in awe of the bowl. So this is Krishna shows all through the 10th canto who is supreme. Later on in the 10th canto, there's a battle between Krishna and
Shiva.
They actually have a battle. And Krishna shows who is supreme. So just to show everyone how powerful he is, he just walks straight up to the bow, and there's many soldiers, and they all go to stop him, and with his arms he just pushes them. And just out of the way, move. big soldiers, you know. Krishna just walks up and just move.
Push them like flowers.
Yeah, just out of the way, just like an elephant. When an elephant walks in, he just pushes things out of the way. And Krishna just walks in, and he picks up the bow. And the bow is, it's a large bow. It's described, it's I can't remember how long it is, but I think it's about as big as this room. It's not like a small bow. Yeah, Krishna walks in, he picks the thing up. I mean, this bow takes hundreds of men to carry. Hundreds of men to carry the bow. Krishna just walks in, he just picks it up.
Can I ask how it came to be there?
Easily lifting the bow with his left hand. Lord, left hand is the weaker hand. Right? Just to show everyone. Krishna likes to do this. Sometimes Krishna gets in this mood. This is Chhatriya Bhav. He gets in the mood. When you're in the Chhatriya Bhav, sometimes you get in the mood, you become very insulting to others. So just, he does this to Kamsa. You'll see in the next few chapters how he treats Kamsa when they finally see each other. So he goes and he picks up with the left hand just to show Kamsa. Right? Left hand, I can do this. Same when he lifted up Giriraj, right? With the left hand. Doesn't even use the right hand.
Little finger.
Little finger. Fingernail. Picks up Giriraj just to show Indra how easy this is. I can defeat you like this. You know, when we're kids, sometimes I say to my friends, I can beat you with this finger. Can't actually do it, but Krishna does it. He lifts up, defeats Indra, does with that.
7 days and 7 nights.
Yeah. Easily lifting the bow with his left hand, Lord Urukrama strung it in a fraction of a second. As the king's guards looked on, he then powerfully pulled the string and snapped the bow in half, just as an excited elephant might break a stalk of sugar cane. So he's showing his potency. A bow like this, to string a bow like this, you know, to string any bow, which is a good bow, you have to really pull it and then put the string on. Right? And Krishna just grabs it, picks up his left hand, and he just pulls the string on in one motion. Right? And then he pulls the bow back so hard that he breaks the bow, and the bow just snaps. The sound of the bow is breaking, filled the earth and sky in all directions. Upon hearing it, Kamsa was struck with terror. Because who is Krishna to Kamsa?
Death
personified. So when he knew what the sound was. When he heard the crack, he knew exactly. Right? And it scared him. That's how Kamsa was. We'll hear about Kamsa in the next few chapters. Kamsa was incredibly powerful. Incredibly powerful. But even he was scared when he heard the crack. I'll just finish this. The enraged guards then took up their weapons and, wanting to seize Krishna and his companions, surrounded them and shouted, "Grab him!" kill him. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out in the Sanskrit, because the Sanskrit can be taken both ways. So they were saying, grab him, kill him. But if you take the Sanskrit another way, they were saying, we will be killed. We will be killed. They're saying, kill him. But actually, they were saying, I mean, Krishna kills them all. Srila Prabhupada ki. So please maintain your fees. Fees are getting behind as usual. It's like some internal leela that all of you have. There's no class next week. 1 week off and then we'll get the next week. I'll give you your key memory verses, KMVs. So you can write them down and then what do? How do you get them to everyone? You send them? WhatsApp. Okay, everyone just listen for a second. Please concentrate. So all three verses are from Akrura's prayers in chapter 40. So Canto 10, chapter 40. Verses 25, 27, and 28. Three verses. 25, 27, and 28. Three verses. Chapter 40. Canto 10, chapter 40, verses 25, 27. And if you need to hand in your essays, hand them in, otherwise. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.